Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. What's up? How y'all doing? Glad to be back. I believe this is episode 23, the MJ, the LeBron episode. Dos tres. I am in Rochester, New York, my hometown. I'm here picking up my boy. I'm here to celebrate my grandmother's 90th birthday, where my mother wants me to do time at the party. So I potentially get to bomb in front of my entire family and my grandmother's friends. So it's just like, hey, Chris, tell some appropriate jokes for your 90-year-old grandmother at her party on Saturday. We hope it goes well. So, yeah, there could be potentially a horrific story to come next week. How are y'all doing? I'm doing great. Last week, man, I got to feature two days and at the Richmond Funny Bone. Had a good time. Wasn't my best time. You know what? I don't really think I talk a whole lot of comedy on here. But I think I do, actually, from time to time. I asked for these two nights. I got them. I just really wanted to see where I was, man, because I'm still doing a lot of MC work as far as the club goes, but you know, bar shows and out of the club shows, I'm getting more feature spots. But when I get to the clubs, man, to feature, I really get in my head. I really do. Most of the times, you know, when you're MCing, you're doing anywhere from 7 to 10 minutes, which is a cakewalk at this point, honestly. And that's not a cocky statement. That's just a statement of a fact. Just the fact that I've done it so many times. And so when I get to do the 2025, when I get to my normal stopping point for my MC set, you know, the 8-9 minutes in, when I start telling those jokes, my mind goes, oh my God, you're only like halfway done. Do you have any more jokes? Because the muscle memory has set in, like, okay, when I tell this joke, when I get to this point, I have like one more bit to go and I'm done and I'm bringing up the feature act. So in my mind, I start panicking, like, oh my God, do you have the jokes, Chris? Do you have the material? Can you fill in this extra 10 to 15 minutes? I don't think you can. This is the shit that's going on in my head. I start overthinking stuff. And then I'm like, oh my God, can I remember my jokes? Because I tell myself, of course you can, Chris. You have the bits. And then something goes, do you really, Chris? This is the shit that goes on in my brain while I'm on stage talking to 300 people. And it affects my performance because I'm so in my head, my mouth is like on autopilot, kind of. So I'm telling whatever joke that I'm telling, but in my mind, I'm having this conversation with myself all the while trying to figure out what joke I'm going to do next. And I think it affects my performance because now I'm, like I said, I'm only on autopilot and I'm not really paying attention and putting 100% into the bit. So now I'm just running through jokes. And I think people can tell. So that's something I really need to work on. That's why I'm glad Jason gave me these two nights, because I realized that about myself. And I did fine. When I find myself out of my head and actually getting into the bits, that's when I would get better responses, because now I'm connecting and I'm in the moment. You know, when I can go, oh, okay, I know what the next three jokes I'm going to do. And then, boom, I get into those jokes. And as I'm telling that third one, I'm like, okay, what we got coming up next? And, you know, sometimes your mind's like, oh, God, I can't think of anything. I can't think of anything. And then you start kind of like diddling along, trying to like find something. And you go, oh, yeah, and then you find another joke. So I found myself doing that the first night. I get a little too worked up because that really doesn't happen to me in the bar shows. I feel a lot more relaxed, you know. I like doing crowd work. I like to kind of ease into my set like an old man into a hot bath. I like to just slowly just ease on in. And that's something I kind of need to do. I need to take that relaxed version of myself, the one that, you know, just kind of like, I'll get it. I'll get them going. It's just working that club. Man, I have so much respect for the Funny Bone and working the clubs that I'm just like, man, can I do this? And I just need to relax, man. So that's a quick look at what goes on in my head while I'm up there. And some people say they can never tell, but, you know, a lot of times I'm fucking dying on the inside, like, oh, God, please let me. And that's the thing. I know I have the material. I know I have the time. It's just I have to get out of my own way. So it was a good experience. The second night was better. I can't say I bombed either night, but if I had to pick a night where I wish I could do again, it would be the first night. Second night was better, and I think I need to rearrange my set. I think it can get too heavy at certain points. So I think I need to rearrange some things and kind of spread out my heavy bits. That way it I don't come across like I'm just doing social commentary. But I like to do societal jokes, and you know, I just love that type of stuff. And I don't have a lot of silly jokes. I don't have a lot of silly material. So I just have to work harder at trying to make more serious subjects funnier. So yep, so that was my weekend, my week last week, you know, working there. That's that. So, yeah, we got here in town yesterday around 4:30. I almost made it. I was like 30 miles out, and I got a goddamn ticket doing 80 and a 65. So, and, you know, this rental car that I got, it's from Ontario, so the kilometers are on top, which is, it just kept throwing me off. I just wasn't paying attention to. And it's a little Nissan Altima. It's got some get up. So it was very, very easy to just do 90. So luckily I didn't get caught doing that. I have three mics lined up while I'm here. Did the first one last night at the Sasso Cafe. Used to be Boulder Coffee. Had a lot of fun, man. A lot of the Rochester comics are moving to New York City. So good luck to those guys. But I gotta say, man, there's quite a few young black comics out here that are pretty funny, man. They got some potential. And I think over the next 10, 15 years, America will see a different type of black comic. There's a lot of young black kids out here that whose parents were kind of like the pioneers in the suburban schools, you know. But there's always been black kids in the suburban schools. But, you know, you get that onesie-twosie back in the 70s and 80s. But now there's a lot of kids going to private school, black kids going to private schools, suburban schools, and they have been submerged in that suburban, you know, culture. And it's not looked at as out of the norm. So it's going to be exciting to see how the face of black comedy changes over the next 10, 15 years. So shout out to all those dudes at Cafe Sasso, Sasso Cafe. I got a late show tonight, 10:30, open mic at a bar. That should be fucking great. So, and then Friday, I got another coffee shop show. So you haven't done an alt room until you try to do your jokes over a fucking coffee grinder. Those shows are fun. It can be kind of hard to do those young, super liberal crowds. They get pretty upset about a lot of things, but it makes you a better writer. And you still can touch on certain subjects. It's just people kind of freak out about certain words, and it just hones your skills on how to write around things, or just try to just use your words, your choice of words better to get your point across. And speaking of that, getting your point across, or I want to get my point across about this McKinney. I'm pretty sure you guys have seen this McKinney pool party cop video where, first of all, I saw the video, and, I mean, just from the start, I was lost from the start because this dude comes running in, does like, I don't know if he trips or does like a commando roll. Like, I was kind of confused. I was like, is this like a, I was like, oh, okay, this is like a parody. I thought this was like a parody video of like cops overreacting at first. And then I realized like, oh, this shit's real. I couldn't believe the dude's behavior, man. He was literally running around like a chicken with his head cut off. I couldn't believe how hyper the dude was and amped up over this pool party thing. I mean, he's given multiple commands. Sit down, come here, don't talk, shut up, go that way, don't go that way. What are you doing? It's like you can't tell a crowd to disperse and then when they start walking towards you, tell them to leave. It's like, well, what if they're leaving that way? You didn't tell them which way to leave. And I just found it odd that he's handcuffing these young black dudes that they haven't seemed to have done anything. And of course, the classic right wing response to any video with police officers acting badly with a black suspect or a black person is, well, you didn't see what happened before that. So apparently there was a fight that broke out between like a parent or something like that. And it's just like, okay, we'll handle that situation. That doesn't give you the right to manhandle a 16-year-old girl in a bikini. Does the bikini really matter? Probably not. It just made it a little bit awkward. I mean, just the way, just forcing her head to the ground. And it's just like, look, I get it, man. Teenagers talk shit. You want to fucking punch them in the face, but it's like you can't. You just can't manhandle people. You can't pull your gun out on people, especially teenagers. I don't care how tall they are. They're still kids. I mean, that's what someone said. Well, they're teenagers. Well, look how tall. It's like their height has nothing to do with it. Just because a girl's 6'5" doesn't mean you can have sex with her. It's like she's 15. Her height has nothing to do with it. Doesn't matter how big he is. Is it that person's a teenager? Doesn't matter. Hannity can't get over. I can't believe that there's people who still just try to justify bad behavior by bad police officers. Yeah, there was a lot of people around. He put himself in a bad position. And then Hannity trying to spin this thing around to try to make it seem like these dudes came up behind this cop and that's why he pulled his gun out because he didn't know what was. It's just like, if that's the case, then the cops should just pull their guns out on everybody because they don't know anything. They should just come up with their gun pulled out because they don't know what you're going to do. These dudes came from plain sight. He got nervous and pulled his gun out. It's like, you can't do that. Because what if something happens accidentally? Dude's out of control, and he has since resigned. And some people say that's not an admission of guilt. It's just the fact that, hey, this is so blown out of proportion, it doesn't matter now. He's just guilty before there's even an investigation. It's like, wow, that kind of sounds familiar. Trayvon Martin, the other dude, Mike Brown. That's weird. I'm not saying either one of those dudes are guilty or innocent. Trayvon Martin or Mike Brown. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know. But it's just funny how now people want to use that excuse when it comes to the cop. Well, he's already guilty. It's like now you see what it's like to be guilty before you're guilty. Apparently, even the police chief was like, hey, this dude's actions are, you can't defend this dude's actions. He was out of control. He did the right thing. Just quit, buddy. You're not cracked up for the job. It's a hard job, and you couldn't handle it. You let some teenagers get you riled up, and now you lost your job. You probably shouldn't have been a cop anyway. And then when the dude pulls his gun out, some of the cops, they run up, and they're like, yo, what are you doing? And once he holsters his weapon, they take off. It's like they almost don't even want anything to do with the guy. They don't even want to be involved. And I get it. It's a tough job. But feeling like I should have watched the video. I need to watch it. There's some cops giving their, some Baltimore cops giving an interview talking about how their hands are tied. They're so afraid of getting a lawsuit. And it's just like, if you do your job correctly, you shouldn't have anything to worry about. It's like you tell people, if you don't break the law, you don't have anything to worry about. And I heard somebody the other day on Facebook, I got into it with, well, if you break the law, you forfeit all your rights. It's like, no, you don't. You obviously don't know how the fucking law works at all. Even if you're in prison, you have rights. Police aren't the judge, jury, and executioner. That's not their job. Their job is to take you in when you break the law. It's funny. People are demanding, and I'm not calling the people in that video criminals, but just criminals in general. They're demanding more. They're demanding more from criminals than they are police officers. They want the criminals to behave in a professional manner so they can be taken in without any effort whatsoever. They're criminals. Again, I've said it before. As a cop, your job is to literally chase the bad guy. That's your job. Why are we holding criminals to higher standards than police officers? Why? Just because someone gets smart with you or taunts you doesn't give you the right to take your gun out, doesn't give you the right to punch people or beat people up when they're handcuffed or manhandle people. You're supposed to be a professional. I don't understand when it's going to end, man. It's just, you just need to start calling out bad cops when you see it. Point blank. So, I also I watched the that 30-minute interview that Megyn Kelly did on Fox with the Duggars family, and that shit is even worse than I thought. You know, when I originally heard the story, dude touched his sister, molested his sister, pretty fucking gross. But when you listen to the interview, and they over the course of the interview reveal that he did it multiple times. You know, and these episodes seem to escalate, or these encounters seem to escalate in creepiness. I mean, to hear the father say, well, you know, they were sleeping and it was over the clothes only for a few seconds. I'm like, oh, God, you really can't get any creepier than that. Touching people while they're sleeping. It's just like when you're doing something because you know you shouldn't do it to them while they're awake. You know, it's just like in the back of your mind, it's like, you know what, this person wouldn't let me touch them like this awake, so let me sneak and do it, and let me do it to my sister. And then it evolved into under the clothes while they were awake. They implement quote unquote safeguards. I find it very weird that the cop that they finally took his son to confess, he's in jail for child pornography. I find that really weird. Could be a coincidence, but I don't know. And just to hear some of these right-wing people defend that shit, man, it's disgusting. And to hear a man defend this shit, a father defend this shit, that his son did to his daughters, to his sisters, taking them to do construction at a camp. That'll teach him. This kid told on himself every time. It's like he obviously has a problem. He's telling you like, hey, I keep doing bad things. And you're like, no, we'll work it out. We'll just put you in timeout. That family is disgusting. And what makes it worse, what people love to hate the most about these people is the fact that they're such hypocrites. The fact that they parade themselves around to be this perfect Christian family, that, you know, they have all these values. They openly, I mean, just demonize and bash gay and transgender people. Try to label them as child molesters and pedophiles. And then the guy who does it, this motherfucker is a spokesperson that was literally his job, was to go around trying to lobby to deny gay and trans people, transgender people, their rights. He even talked about child molesters. It's like, dude, you are a fucking child molester. The fact that he tried to pass that on, that's probably why the shit leaked. That's the thing. That's probably why somebody's like, you know what? I know what this dude did. I cannot sit back and let this dude talk all this shit. That's probably what got him in trouble. I can't listen to this dude be a hypocrite anymore. Boom, leaked. There you go. It blows my mind. And the fact that people would, it's like, seriously, who's the worst father? Jim Bob Duggar or Caitlyn Jenner? Seriously, when you think about it, who's the bad dad? The guy who's 65 that felt like he was living a lie his entire life. He tried to fit the quote-unquote social norms, was married multiple times, took care of all of his kids. One daughter, 17, just bought a house. And I'm not saying the Kardashians are perfect at all. I don't go look towards the Kardashians for any type of moral, for my moral compass or, you know, to make decisions on my, I don't. We all, like, look at the Duggars. We all have shit in our closets, but again, who's a worse father? A dude who decides, you know what, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to become a woman. Other dudes like, hey, you know what? I know my son's been finger blasting my daughters for the last year, but I'm going to let him stick around. Maybe he'll change his ways. You tell me what you think. There's a show. That's a show. Make sure you guys follow me, Instagram, Twitter, at Chris Allen Comedy, ALAN, and the email is NegroPleaseRadio@gmail.com. Damn it, I meant to do this earlier. Shout out to my boy, Wilfred. You know who you are out there in Seattle doing your jokes. I meant to hit you up in the middle, man. Yeah, man, my boy Wilfred Pandow. Look him up, Wilfred Pandow. I feel like I don't have my phone. I can't look his last name up. He has a different last name. Very funny. Met him in New York. I gotta do this. I gotta do it right. When I list my description of my podcast, I'll put his Twitter handle and his Facebook address on there. So y'all make sure y'all go and follow my boy Wilfred. So yeah, that's my show, y'all. Thanks for listening. Peace. I'm out.